It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, 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 Thunderstruck here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. We're not afraid. We're going to discuss it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to examine it, and we're going to define it. This is, I'm glad we have this opportunity. We have Carmen Trotta is a gentleman that puts his neck on the line for what he believes in. What does he believe in? Well, I'll tell you one thing he believes in is that we shouldn't be torturing people. We shouldn't have people in Guantanamo that don't have access to a court system. We're not going to be able to see the evidence against them and what they had. I mean, it's just been delay. And some of these people started there as children. And, you know, they're teenagers. Then what do you do with them? How fried do you got to be? And then how long do you got to torture them? I'm like, wow. And they're at its max. Carmen's saying that they're up to like 600 people, but they're building more. It's going to become a international prison industrial complex. This country, this government that we have is not going to last. It can't. It doesn't deserve to. You know, it's in debt. I mean, when the dollar goes, you know, all bets are off. So having the opportunity to talk to Carmen, you know, while we're talking about this one subject, we started getting off a little bit. So this hour, we'll go ahead and how long we keep Carmen, we'll see. But let me go ahead and I still got you there, Carmen?
You do, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So let's go ahead and see where we're at here. You know, we libertarian, we have a lot of overlap. I mean, here.
Let me tell you what we did, all right? Can I tell you what we did today? Well, what the inside
please.
Group did at the Rotunda?
Please.
Is that of interest to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
We went into the Rotunda. When you go into the Capitol building, you go on a tour, and there's a video before the tour, and they talk to you about the Rotunda, and they call it the Temple of Liberty. It's the Temple of Liberty. And there's a little civics lesson given, and this is the great deliberative body at the heart of our democracy. And in the Rotunda, there is, now, this, it may upset you, but it strikes me as strange that in the Temple of Liberty there would be a statue of Ronald Reagan. I find that incongruous. That said, there's also a statue of Reverend Martin Luther King. There's a statue of the early suffragettes, and I found that kind of delightful. So what we did is we took the names of those detainees, the three detainees who we think we have good reason to believe were murdered and perhaps tortured to death at Guantanamo at a secret black site run by the JSOC, not by the CIA, therefore not covered by Obama's last executive order, closing CIA black sites. And we took their names and we laid them in the middle of the rotunda where they wake the President of the United States, and we had a funeral service for them. That was the action that we did.
And what was the response? I mean, did you have...
Well, you know, the response is not... The Capitol Police, I imagine that's a cushy job. I imagine, you know, they don't... They have responsibilities that are serious, but by and large, the day-to-day life is a cakewalk. And I'm sure they got good bennies, good benefits, right? And so the Capitol Police are fine. They're nice. They're decent. You know, they didn't rush in and tackle us. They almost allowed the service to go on. They shut down all the tours. They gave us three warnings before they arrested us. They, you know, handcuffed us. They didn't cuff us. They could, you know, police officers can, if they want to cuff you, they want to hurt you when they handcuff you, because they can hurt you when they handcuff you. They didn't do that. And they put us through the D.C. system. So it was all quite civil. Our point was, listen, we're willing, like Dr. King, like Rosa Parks, who is the only civilian, as I understand it, who was waked in the Temple of Freedom there, that these were also people who, and the suffragettes, who violated a minor statute of the law in order to call a larger question before people.
And the charges and that they got you on was what?
The technicality that we got released on is they used a very specific charge that that the judge said didn't apply to us. I think what really happened, as I told you earlier, is that Bill Quigley argued from the Center for Constitutional Rights, and he made a very strong case for the international law and the necessity defense. And I think the judge was moved by that and by some of the testimony that came from us, and I felt like he himself felt behind on he didn't know enough about Guantanamo. And he realized that we were quite willing to go to jail, and I think he had some respect for that, and I think he wanted to destroy the case. And I think he pulled the rug out from under the prosecution and said essentially they were mischarged and we really can't go forward with this trial.
Okay, so they dismissed it. Now let's go ahead and let's get back to what we're segued off into, and I want to have this conversation because a good libertarian is not going to let a good socialist just go to waste, okay?
I'm not a good socialist. That's my problem. Good. Although I do live at the home I live at the Catholic Worker in New York City. And that's Michael Harrington, who's probably America's most well-known socialist, I would suppose. The guy who wrote the book, The Other America.
Well, that's one thing.
He lived there for a while.
Okay, that's one thing that I want to talk about. You know, let's go ahead and we have, you know, Catholic social services is not necessarily part of the church, although they definitely intertwine, but they're all over the country. Whenever you run for political office, like here in Arizona, you're definitely going to have this issue come up because Catholic social services get, in various different parts of the country, tax money. That they will do some kind of services in the name of, but it's being funded by the government. So I'm going.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm in favor of the separation. I think the church hurts itself when it takes state money, and I can understand that there are positive motives and negative motives for that. But I think the church is always going to be a sort of. Should, in its best form, is always in opposition. And its opposition is, here's my rule in life. Never betray the poor. No one should be poor. No one. We should have a society where there is no one poor. It was a command in the Hebrew Bible that Jesus took up, let there be no poor among you. There should be no poor people. Never turn on the poor.
Now let's go ahead and discuss that a little bit. I don't have a problem with that as a moral imperative as an individual, certainly someone of faith. The question comes is, how do you solve that? Do you do it as an individual, or do you advocate collectively that you're able to use government or any other force to take from those that have and redistribute? I mean, is that what you're arguing?
Well, yes, both. Of course you do. Yeah, at a certain point, particularly in an economy that is founded on usury, that is founded on interest, that is founded on money making money when money ought to be sterile, which is an old church teaching that very few abide by except the Catholic Worker, you get people who get enough money that they live in another world. They live in another environment. You know, they're not living with the people.
Okay, we'll walk this through because I need you to help. I want to make sure you're understood. I'm not trying to hammer on you. This is one thing that I do, Carmen.
You might clarify some things for me, too.
Okay, this is one thing that I do, Carmen. It doesn't do me any good to, you know, just, you know, hammer on and, you know, and beat somebody up on something and try to force an agreement with whatever I say because I don't seek agreement. I seek understanding. Truth will be agreed with as time goes on. Sooner or later, circumstances are going to be such that they're going to go, hey, you know, I understood what this guy was saying. You know, this is really panning out the way he anticipated this would come. I'm, you know, maybe what did he have to say? Okay, then we have some agreement. Well, agreement comes on their own. Because if you don't seek just understanding, what happens is that you're arguing with somebody, they put the sandbags up, they get in their foxhole, and they invest so much into whatever it was that they're never going to come out, you know? So I'm going, no, that is not what we're going to do here. We're going to go ahead and seek understanding. So the people in the audience and you and I, we go through this, we're going to understand each other. Then we're going to see where we overlap. Because we're definitely about this, you know, using the state to inflict war and pain and suffering and torture and all that. That's bad, okay? That's bad. I think it's just a side effect of government, and you're thinking it's a side effect of bad government. And I'm going, there's a difference? I mean, so we can discuss that later. But the first thing I want to get by here is that you're saying the word enough. Somebody has more than enough, and I just need to understand how. Yeah, we're coming up on a break. I want you to think about that in this first break and define to me what is enough. I've had guys like Pearl on. I've had Ruben. I've had all these guys. And remember, they wrote a book, and it was saying that we got 6 billion people. 3 billion of them live on less than $3 a day. 1 billion of them live on less than $1 a day. And it's our obligation of the rich country of America to bring everybody up so we're all on the same standard. I'm like, I'm just wondering, how poor do I got to be before I can feel good about myself? You know, so when you say enough, I'm wanting to know what that is. And as I produce more, I just keep making it because I'm a productive guy. Do you keep taking it? You know, so start thinking about those things, and we'll talk about it when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Carmen Trotta. You know, he's a pacifist. Maybe. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
To me, Ernest Hancock, how about some truth, justice, and what used to be the American way, whatever the heck that was? And I'll bet you, you know, Carmen Trotta has his own version of whatever that was. You know, we're gonna discuss it. We're gonna find out, because this is an interesting opportunity. We have someone that's been very active in politics. He's very opinionated about, you know, what the proper role of government is as it pertains to war. I mean, we have an opinion. And what we're discussing now, we had Carmen come on to talk about some of his activities in opposition to Guantanamo and the torture and the war and the rendition and so on. So we made sure that he was able to give his street creds, you know, on that. So I'm now we're talking about a much larger issue. How this stuff comes about. What is the solution? What are we? Because these are the questions that are coming up. I mean, and it's going to get bad. Economically, they're going to say whatever the system was, it didn't work. And of course, I'm sure you'd argue a free market system failed to what I'm going. Yeah, when the heck have we had a free market system? Yeah, I haven't had it in my lifetime. I guarantee you that. So I'm just going, you know, this is, we're talking about things and words such as social justice. And it lists you here, Carmen, as Carmen Trotta is a pacifist, consistent with his service in the Catholic worker movement. He has been an opponent of the war in Iraq, even when it had the support of 90% of the U.S. citizens. And I was with you, brother, man. I'm definitely in the 10%. He's associate editor of the Catholic Worker and is part of the executive committee of the War Resisters League and on. So he's definitely anti-war kind of guy. And we're going to, I want to get into this one thing because it says pacifist, and we're going to find out real quick. Mm-hmm. I say that, you know, if we redistributed all the wealth, the smart, productive people will start accumulating again, and do we start lopping it off again? Well, if you start taking it again, sooner or later, you're just going to stop doing it. You know, I mean, stop being productive. You know, you look at a society, you want to know where society goes.
A lot of smart people who are lower class people who don't have the education that the other people have, and education becomes not education, it becomes training at some point. People simply get trained to take their role in a system, and once again, you begin to set up something that begins to look like royalty.
No, I want to give you your equality. I want to assume that we are able to give you your utopia. You're done. We got everybody equal.
Do you not want utopia?
No. My utopia is different than yours. My utopia is different than yours.
I look at Gandhi and the people of India. They lived in great poverty.
I live in great poverty. my point is this. Let me go ahead and finish my point, and I'll be more than happy to let you finish yours.
Okay.
We have a experiment, and we're going to go with Carmen's idea, and we're going to make everybody equal. We're going to get them equally educated. We're going to get them equally provided for. They're going to have the same square footage. It's equal. Okay, we're done. They're equal.
No, I mean, you've made it. You're turning it already into something so heavily systematic.
Well, I don't know. What is it that you want? Don't you want them equal? What is it you're looking to accomplish?
I would like people to be secure. I would like people to be secure. I want people to be secure when to be able to care for their children, be able to live decently, to not have to worry daily about food or clean water. And a fair portion of the globe has to drink, very bad water.
Okay, Carmen, let me tell you something that's going to surprise you, okay? For years, I was the token libertarian on the most popular Air America affiliate here in Phoenix, Arizona, okay? I've dealt with the left. I went through the 2008 election cycle. All I heard was Obama and Kucinich and Hillary Clinton. I've gone through, I have no problem talking with the left.
I was never an Obama fan.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, my point is that I've had these conversations.
Chicago cool politician.
I've had these conversations with progressives from all over. I give you all kinds of street cred on all my progressive friends, okay? The point is that I look at, if you're going to see the future of a society, it's really simple. Regardless of what you want, this is what, I mean, hopefully I can get this understanding from you, is that you're going to get more of whatever it is that you reward and less of whatever it is that you punish. If you reward productivity, you get more of it. If you punish it, you get less of it.
Productivity of what? Productivity of what?
Of anything.
What are we producing?
Of anything.
Unfortunately, are we going to? Is it productivity of
bad stuff?
Chemical substances that are poisoning the earth? Is it
absolutely. If you reward that. If you subsidize, oil, you subsidize hate, you subsidize war, guess what? You're going to get more of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we subsidize corn, right, that we feed to cattle so we can eat meat. We prefer to eat that meat.
No, they subsidize corn so they can make ethanol and you don't have any food.
When actually we could be the breadbasket of the world. And why wouldn't you want to do that?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why you wouldn't. If I am a corn farmer and I am producing, and then somebody comes in and says, you're a good producer. We're going to take some of that because you produce a lot. And I'm going, well, what's my incentive to produce extra? Are you going to take it?
Yeah, I don't get you. I mean, people's incentive these days is money and investments. And the investments, you're into a usurious economy, money making money, investing in corporations. And people have no idea. There are people, even good people, at this point, you can't even invest. You can't invest anything on the set of stock market, and expect it to not be dirty. Expect the corporations that you're dealing with to not be dirty. And there are groups that try to be sort of earth friendly investors or social justice friendly investors, but it's all sort of.
A lot.
I think because of usury. I think if you were to end usury, you would go a long way toward creating a more egalitarian society.
This is, and that may very well happen. My problem is not the usury as somebody charging interest on something. It is the government taking my income to pay interest that they did in my name when they borrowed it from someone else. When you put a bond out and say, please, somebody give me money so I can spend it, and I'm going to give you interest on it, who do I blame? China for being the bad person charging me interest? Or United States government saying, please come give us money and we'll give you interest and we'll charge my grandchildren in the future for it? I mean, who do I blame? Do I blame China or do I blame the U.S. government?
Well, I mean, the interesting thing is you're bright enough to look around and try and figure out how the system actually works. And a vast portion of people who might also be bright enough to explore it have never even been introduced to it. And so what they accept is greenbacks. What they know is how to make money. And particularly when you're poor, that's all they know is how to, they begin to learn how to make money and how to save for themselves. And everybody wants to leave their neighborhood. Everybody wants eventually to move into a mansion. Everyone wants to isolate themselves behind bushes and fences. And have water in their backyard. And all these things, I think, are, I think what we need is a great deal more community.
Well, and this, I'll give you an example. As things start to get bad, we talk a lot about on this show. I'm like, got chickens because in my backyard, you know, we started raising chickens, you know, over a year ago. I got more eggs than I know what to do with. We do different kinds of gardening. We run a webpage, Freedom's Phoenix. My senior editor is practicing square foot gardening. We're doing this, but it's not forced. It's just a natural occurrence of this. As things get worse, we may accumulate our cells in certain areas and draw upon it, but it's not going to be dictated upon us from anything. We have a lot of the common goals that we seek to be just, you know, left alone. There are those that want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. And when we come back, we're going to find out which one's Carmen.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Is the world insane? If love and peace is so strong, why are the pieces of love that don't belong? Nations dropping bombs, chemical gases filling lungs of little ones with ongoing suffering. As the youth are young, so ask yourself, is the loving really gone? So I could ask myself, really what is going wrong in this world that we living in? People keep on giving in, making wrong decisions, only visions of the negative. Not respecting each other, denying thy brother. A war's going on, but the reason's undercover. The truth is kept secret, it's swept under the rug. If you never know truth, then you never know love. What's the love, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
What's the truth, y'all? Come on,
I don't know.
Oh, what's the love, y'all?
People killing, people dying, children hurting, even crying. Can you practice what you preach?
Father, Father, give us some help from above. I mean, you know, this, I love the lyrics on this because you can't, if you don't have truth, you can't have love. I mean, you know, there's this, all these, always with the negative waves, man. It's changing society over my generation. I'm 49 now. I was born in 61. I graduated high school in 79. I've gone through this cycle enough times. I'm like on my third, fourth cycle of this propaganda, this press, this push, the threats, the fear that you start to see. It's like a playbook that they keep rewinding all the time. And I'm going, you know, this is, I can see what they need. They, them, those. There are those that just want to be left alone. And there are those that just won't leave them alone. Now, I got to ask you, Carmen, you know, if I apply that, you know, I'm going, okay, well, I would think that a pacifist would leave me alone. You know, I'm good. I'm over here. I'm not bothering anybody. Not really. I mean, you're willing to use the force of government to come take my goodies, right?
Am I willing to use the force of government to take your goodies? Well, it kind of depends where you got your goodies from.
I made it. I built it. I created it. I sold them and I made money. Now I got money. You know, I didn't charge any interest or anything.
You made the tree from which you got the wood?
Am I allowed to have any property?
Sure.
Okay, so I create. Maybe I got an intellectual idea. You know, maybe I patented or whatever.
I made an intellectual idea and then you get a patent on it and you get like whatever you want for it? That's absurd. And we don't need that. We don't need that in order to encourage people to innovate, in order to encourage people. You don't need that money to have people become doctors. You know, it's not, if you're getting doctors that are becoming doctors because they want to make a lot of money, that's not a good system of creating doctors.
I can understand your point. I'm just trying to, you know, make sure we're clear. I sit in front of my computer. I use solar powered. I didn't suck any energy from anybody else. The sun gave me, I mean, let's assume I'm allowed to, you know, take energy from the sun. I'm sitting at my computer. I make a code that De La whatever. Here's this, thumb drive that I'm going to sell for $300 because it's got really cool stuff on it. Heck, it's got, you know, I took pictures of my toenails and, you know, that's of value to somebody. Okay. So I'm selling that out on the internet, Craigslist, you know, Ernie's toenail, you know, USB thumb drives of, you know, each one from every angle. I mean, whatever. I got priority fee as far as you know. Okay. So I do that and I take it and I sell it and I got a bunch of money. Is that mine? I mean, you know, at what point does it not belong to me? What criteria is it that I'm not allowed to have resources?
Well, if you ask me, you're going to get a, you know.
I am asking you.
You have brothers and sisters in the world, yeah. And at some point, does someone have too much that they would have to, you know, that they should be looted? Yes.
Okay, yeah. By force. So you can't call yourself a pacifist.
No, that's a personal. It'd be nice for people to adopt a great deal of nonviolence, and I think there's a lot that we could learn if people began to experiment with nonviolence. But people have a right to self-defense. I've never denied that. And pacifism is a very sort of personal, and in this case, Christian choice.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, when I got too much stuff and I'm able to, you know, self-defense, I'm just wondering when I'm not allowed to defend. Or am I a bad guy if I defend from the almost pacifist guys come take my stuff? I mean, you see,
If it was up to me and we were that close and you had resources that I thought should be going to myself and others in your surroundings, you would be a part of that conversation. But at some point, right, you know, people might come to the conclusion that you're living way above your means, and it would always be the case that you would be taking from others.
This is one thing that I'm sure that people need to understand, and that's why you have large corporations doing these public relations things and how green they are and how much they love the children and they're cleaning the water of the African children, whatever, okay? Because they do see a value in at least being perceived as being a good social neighbor, okay? There is a value in that. And to think that you're just going to be able to accumulate all kinds of stuff and that, you know, in your castle while outside the moat, you got all these starving serfs out there, you know, the natives be in an uprising sooner or later. I'm definitely with you on that. It's just good idea to acknowledge human behavior, that you're just not sort of flaunting in your, you know, gold plated toothbrushes while everybody doesn't, you know, have food to eat. So I understand that, but to have at the very beginning the concept that you can use force to take from them is it's almost like advocating for the torture. You know, I mean, it doesn't make you any better.
It's very difficult to compare people morally. I'm not sure that I'm any better than anyone anyway.
Well, I'm trying to, that's why I, you know, libertarianism is a, you know, from my perspective, is the most moral ideology, because it recognizes the rights of individuals and holds government to the same standard that you would an individual. You know, they don't have any kind of, sovereign immunity over anything, you know, or eminent domain or something. You know, individuals, the whole purpose of government is to defend the rights of the individual, which include your freedom, your liberty to sustain your life, your liberty to produce stuff for your life, liberty,
but the government has
property.
A greater, I mean, I don't, things don't boil down into individuality with me. Things boil down into communities with me. They really don't boil down into individuality.
So the collective is better served by the collective determining.
We're born into families, we're born into extended families, we're born into communities. You know, there are very few. This is the libertarians have always seemed to me like they want, their ideal is the frontiersman, is the cowboy who goes out and makes it alone. And, you know, none of them are quite rich now. It's not like they're making it on their own. But that's the ideal, and I don't find it a very attractive ideal.
No, I tell you from my personal experience.
It's a very macho ideal, too.
Yeah. Now, my personal experience has been that, yes, no, they're definitely all about the role of government to be to defend the rights of individuals, do whatever the heck they want as long as they're not bothering anybody. What happens, though, is that they also are human beings. We are very social. We're going to Pork Fest at the end of the month. It's called Porcupine Festival, which Porcupine is the Free State Project, a bunch of libertarians going to New Hampshire. And the reason they chose the Porcupine for the many years that they've been up there this decade, that as their animal mascot, is because it's defensive. I mean, it's very defensive. It's got, you know, big quills, don't mess with me, but it's not an offensive animal. You know, so we're in defense, man. Hey, we just want to be left alone. You go to Porcupine work fast, and it all it is you have all of these, the Lovolution, the Ron Paul Revolution. I'm the one that came up with the Revolution logo. I'm the one that created that. So you have the Lovolution. I've been traveling all over the country meeting with these young people, and they are flooding. There'll be 1,000, 2,000 of these young people that have been activists that have been living by, you know, just communally, you know, with their friends and so on. You can have, I spent a week in the ditch in Crawford, Texas, at Camp Casey with Cindy Sheehan, covering that for Air America. She's been here at our studios. I know Cindy well. She's probably going to come speak in our next Freedom Summit. But the thing is that, and so I'm very anti-war. I get it. But what happens? You know, I'm there, and what did I see happening? I saw all of this work for being left alone by a government that would impose war, but they would advocate that the government be used to take from others to redistribute the way they want it. And I'm going, what's the difference? I it's just, you're just putting in place a different end where the money goes. You're still advocating the theft. I don't understand the difference.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I understand your question. I'm not sure.
No. It's an observation. I have, you know, you got people that are consider themselves libertarian oriented. They go to Pork Fest. They're just going to have a good time. Everybody's going to. I send my daughter and not have to worry about her. I don't care. You know, I know that these are all good people. I went to Crawford Tech, same kind of gathering, lots of people and so on. But they were all there advocating for redistribution of my money the way they saw fit, as opposed to another group was like, I advocate you not take my money to begin with. And I'm wondering, who's more moral? Who's more pacifist? I don't know. Something to think about. We'll talk about when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Yeah, you're the player, you're independent of me, you're Ernest Hancock. I've heard it before, man. It's always the same. It's like, how did my money get in your wallet? You know, I want your money. Well, you know, Carmen's been a good sport, and I'm glad he spent some time with us. It's always good to have another perspective. But he's on his way to a meeting. He's got to go. But I wanted to give him an opportunity to give out whatever website he wanted or information he had that was important to him, and a chance to say goodbye. So go ahead, Carmen.
Oh yeah, I don't know what to say, people. I didn't know what kind of audience I'm speaking to, my line is to take care of the poor wherever you are, and to end poverty. And that's about it. You're an enjoyable guy to talk to. I'd love to sit down and talk to you and learn more. And I should ask you what limited liability is.
Limited liability is like you have a corporation. I dumped oil on your beach. And you go, you know, it's a corporation. You're not able to go after me because it's a corporation that did it. You know, so it's kind of limited liability. That's why they do corporations. But hey, thanks for coming on, Carmen. It's been a pleasure, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And, yeah, good luck to you. And I'll try and find you on the website.
Yeah, no, I'll make sure my producer sends you a link to the show, and you'll see all the stuff that we do and woohoo, and it'll be cool. We'll have you on again sometime. I'm sure we'll talk.
All right. God bless you and your people. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Bye bye. This is a common conversation that I have with people just like this. I mean, if you get into, you communist, you know. And then I was making some notes. I remember, you know, one time he goes, well, in our democracy and this, I mean, I could start hammering on, you know, we're a democratic constitutional republic, you know. And it'd be lost on him. You know? And I just, whatever. I finally, once it gets, I mean, the first thing, that the first chance they had, they wanted to get the opportunity, we are socialists. We're out here doing this anti-war thing, and we think people should be not tortured, and we think we should stop these wars, and we, you know, and they'll say that they're pacifists and all that kind of stuff, right up until you got too much stuff and they want it. Yeah, no, we advocate for war on your wallet. I mean, you heard them. I didn't make it up. I asked them. You know, at what point, you know, I mean, it may not be a good idea for me to flaunt my wealth in front of the serfs in my castle and think that they're not, as they're starving, they're not going to storm me. It might be, you know, maybe instead of just giving them my stuff, I might use my resources to empower them with education, information, you know, seed businesses, create a sustainable economy that would even make me more wealthy. I'm okay with that. I'm good. No. See, you're making more money. You know, you're increasing our standard of living, but it's not enough that we succeed, but you must also fail. You know, this is learned behavior. It's reinforced not by how the world really is. It's by, you know, other people, or they're funded, or they're subsidized, or they have, you know, if you spend any time talking to them, you can at least plant some, you know, questions in their head, ask some doubt. They're going to go out and go, I don't know, maybe I mean, in the end, you're advocating, you know, all this stuff that you don't think that the government should be doing, to take and steal and murder and rape and pillage and, you know, and whatever. You know, that's okay as long as you're in charge and you just change the target. You know, we'll go do it to these guys because they got more goodies. Well, the guys that got all the goodies, you know, and used the government to get it, you know, they're just setting themselves up for people just like this. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. Is there ever going to be where the pendulum stops swinging so violently and we can find out, you know, just the truth? Well, probably. But you got to understand, you know, it's the bad guys that, you know, control both sides of it. Heck, they're kicking the pendulum just to keep it swinging. You know, they want to have this extremes. You go up the left side of the pyramid, right side of the pyramid, you get to the top, same guys in charge. That's one thing that kind of sends these guys off on a loop, is they, you know, a lot of their heroes in the progressive movement, I know these guys. You know, I've been on their radio shows, they've been on mine, I've gone to all the, you know, the thing, I let them have their say, we have them be guests on the show, I let them write for Freedom's Phoenix, I have them go to Freedom Summits, I let them, you know, go, have your say, man, go. I just want to understand. And we got to understand the mind of someone like this. Yes, if we started at zero, and you were able to accumulate a bunch more goodies, we will use force to come take your goodies. How is that not bad? That's why, you know, to me, I mean, we're not afraid. Why? Because, you know, we just use principle. You know, bring it on, man. You know, give me your best shot. But, you know, the other side does the same thing. You're talking to the, you know, heavy conservative or neocon or whatever. We got to, you know, go impose our will on someone else because they're too stupid to be free, or they hate us because of our freedom, or they, you know, just all kinds of silly stuff. And I'll approach it the same way. I want to know one thing. Who is aggressing against whom? I that's all I want to know. Who is imposing their will on someone else that had nothing to do with whatever they're, hey man, I'm sitting over here. You know, I'm not bothering anybody, but you're going to use force on me? Sooner or later, they go, nah, I don't think so. It's going to, one thing that I think is sad is that it's going to happen, but it's going to happen not the way that Carmen thinks. Progressives and socialists, they don't anticipate, you know, that the equalization of the economy is coming. It's just not going to happen the way they think. They think it's going to be, you know, we want from all these guys and redistribute to everybody, and then they'll bring them up. Well, no, what's going to happen is as the dollar crashes and the economy goes and all this debt, you know, is finally comes to realization how bad that is, you know, all the people up top are going to come down to everybody. Are they happy now? Yay! And what created this? It's government. It's the power that we delegated them to do all this stuff. The war, the torture, you know, the no getting equal justice. You know, I don't have a problem. You know, what's your definition of social justice? It's engineered justice to them. You know, I know where he's coming. I know what questions to ask. I've been through this 15 gazillion times with these guys. Catholic social services is a big thing here in Arizona. I'm sure it is anywhere. They have created a mechanism by which they'll call it Catholic, you know, but and they definitely are tied in with the churches and so on, but they can't be directly linked because you got tax money. But then they just kind of bypassed all that and did this, you know, faith-based initiative stuff under, you know, W. Bush. So I'm going, wow, man, they're just stripping away all pretenses now. As a candidate for legislative races and Congress and so on, you get invited to come speak at these different things. And the libertarians, we go to everything. Yeah, absolutely, man. That's why we ran. Well, we thought we did this because we were going to win. No, we came to talk to all you people. And, of course, they have their questionnaires, you know, that are all about Saturday. I'll give you a good example. Yeah, we'll have Barry Hess come in this week. This will be a good conversation. He went Saturday to the Education Association, the teachers union. Saturday, they send out a questionnaire, and he answered. And every one of them is about, you know, we want more money, more money, more money, more money. And he filled out the questionnaire, but he didn't, it's, you know, CSA, you know, because we need more for this, and you agree, strongly agree that we should take more money, moderately agree that we should get more money, disagree that we should get more money. I mean, it's all about the money. So he's like, no, look, I mean, and he writes in it, on each question, he wrote a thing, and he sent it in. And they called him, and they wanted to be interview him on the phone in a conference call to determine whether he would be allowed to address the whole group. Well, they talked to him, and they just go, you know, yeah, we'd love to have you speak. Now, that was a shock. Well, of course, they're not going to endorse him. They're going to endorse a Democrat, which they did. I mean, they didn't tell you what the vote was, though. That's interesting. It's all secret. But he got up, and he gave him, you know, spiel. And the last line, he read the speech to me the night before, and I was like, oh, man, that's good. His last line was, you know, something. I can't remember how he prefaced it, but basically it came down to this. He goes, yeah, you know, you get a lot of our budget, you know, which is, God, it's like, you know, half. 50-60% of the state budget goes to education. So he goes, but, you know, you have to come to the realization that you can't have it all. I'm like, oh, that's good. Because, of course, they always want an increase. They always want more. So his whole thing, he went in, all your questionnaire was about money. Every single bit, we were talking about money, money for this, money for that, money, and not a single time in your entire questionnaire, this long questionnaire, did you ever talk about the competency of the children, the education of the children, the product at the end of this public education process, this government school, that you never got anything in there about the children. And that's one thing he called the government schools. Government schools, government schools. They don't like that. They made a big deal out of that, too. Oh, no, we don't like that term. We call them public schools. Now, I know. We're changing that. Sorry, you know, we understand the game, too. It's government schools. Now, they didn't like that. So this is, and they had, you know, interesting conversation. I'm sure it kind of went similar to what we did with Carmen. But that's why we spend so much time on the philosophy of this. And you can see that just the conservatives on the other side, they'll come up with some reason why they, you know, how did their money get in our wallets. You know, they'll go, hey, man, you know, you got money in there? Well, it's ours. No, it's not. Yeah, it is. We need to do it for this noble cause, whatever it is. And I go, I don't want to do that. They go, well, I'm sorry. You thought you had a choice? And the difference between them and a liberal is what? There isn't a difference. There was never meant to be a difference. The real concept is, do they have jurisdiction to what is yours? That is the brainwash. That is what has been the goal. That is how they've changed us into being cogs in the machine. Government is just a matrix. So I choose to be out. Unplug. Take the red pill. We'll take the red pill again tomorrow.